everyone to the Covenant Church of Thomason. It's nice to see everyone. Well, kind of see everyone here this morning. I can see half of you anyway. This morning we have a rosebud.
In my mind.
In your mind. Everyone picture a nice rosebud over here with a rose. And it is for Papa G. Right here. Olivia Shea Halfley, born Nicole and Allie.
Sorry, guys, we'll be
here next week.
So we'll do this again next week.
It better be a good rose, huh?
I'll have more pictures.
And Glenn has plenty of pictures he'd love to share with each of you. It says in the bulletin that the board meeting is this. Next week, it's going to be 2 weeks. Okay, so just change. I know all of you want to come, so we'll have that 2 weeks. And then up front here, we have our chalices. The middle is regular, and the sides we have gluten-free. So if it says gluten-free on it, then you're all set. If you want, we have more. We tried to guess, so hopefully that'll all go well. Does anyone have anything they would like to bring up about? There we go.
Thank you so much for all the donations for the diaper bag ministry for Carolyn's Place. Christy and I, we had to buy a few diaper bags. We had so many things to fill in.
Awesome.
Each one. And so I'll be bringing them to Carolyn's Place tomorrow at 10 when they open, and they're so overwhelmed and thankful. So stay tuned. Christy took pictures. So Luke is going to include those in the contact for me. So God bless you all for partaking in that ministry.
Yes.
Anything anyone else would like to share this morning? Women's Ministries. You meet this Wednesday at 6:30. No, then let's please rise for our first song.
Good morning. Would you please join with me in the call to worship? A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous.
When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors.
The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression.
The Lord brought us out of Egypt.
Bow in prayer with me, please. Good God Almighty, loving Father, good morning. On this beautiful, beautiful morning, we gather to praise and worship you. Together we sing your praises. Together we will soon be cleansed, and together we will be blessed by your gifts at your table. We come fearful of opening ourselves up, fearful of loosening our tenacious grip on self-made security, fearful of touching and knowing the pain of others. Sinners we are, we come believing in your emptiness, believing in our emptiness, believing that we will never have or be enough. Like Mephibosheth and the lame man at the well, that what we have and who we are is unworthy before you. Fill us, dear Lord, fill us. We would like to get well. Help us leave our months of struggling and worrying and meetings and stress all before you. And we ask for your strength and your guidance and your hedge of protection for the way the responsibility we bear as we move forward starting today. Bless you, dear Lord. Bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we join together in the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture this morning in the Old Testament is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it's page 247 in your pew Bible if you care to follow along. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Sheba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Sheba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Sheba said to the king, "There remains a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Sheba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, at Lodahar." And then King David sent and brought him to the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, at Lodahar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. David said, "Mephibosheth," he answered, "I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table always." He did obeisance and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Sheba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food to eat. But your master's grandson, Mephibosheth, shall always eat at my table." Now Sheba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Sheba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Sheba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. And our second reading comes from comes from the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 18, and it's page 866 in your pew Bible. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethsaida, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. That day, there was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It's the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who's the man who said to you, 'Take up your mat and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who'd made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father's still working, so I'm also working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. This is the word of the Lord.
May be seated. Come to our time of confession. Always good on these Sundays for the Lord's Prayer. And so we will read the confession together, and then there'll be a time of silence. And just take that time to come before the Lord. So let us confess our sin together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo.
Forgive what our lips tremble to name,
what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Amen. God says in so many ways, "There is nothing you can do to make me stop loving you." When the truth of these words breaks through, we are transformed. We don't have to carry around the burdens of the past. We are a new creation through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, who has become our companion and the one who nurtures us and binds us together. Thanks be to God. Be assured of your forgiveness and God's love for you. And stand, if you are able, for our song.
Scriptures about two men who were crippled, and one of them had been crippled for 38 years. But you know what? I think there's a little bit more to that story. I think that when David looked on Mephibosheth, he didn't see a cripple. He saw God's masterpiece. He didn't see someone who was full of sin, he saw someone who needed forgiveness. And the same way with Jesus, with the pool at Bethsaida, I don't think he saw a cripple either. I think he saw someone who was God's masterpiece, who needed forgiveness, and got it because he asked for it. But I wanted to mention something. Remember last week, Pastor Liz told us about the names that you and how some of them can be mean and nasty. God doesn't see you how people see you. God sees you as your parents see you. They see you as a miracle. But God goes beyond that. He sees you as a miraculous masterpiece and as a child of His. And everybody in here is a child of His. And everybody out there is a child of His. So I want to give you something today, and I'm not really in the habit of giving gifts a lot. My wife can tell you that. But I'm going to give you each something, and I want you to hold it up to your face. Okay? Each one of you take one of these. Hold it up to your face, and I think it's going to show you what God sees when He looks at you. notice that some, any other kids want to hear him? You're going to notice that. Can you have a good one?
Blue.
A blue one? Okay. You're going to notice that on these mirrors, there are some smudges and a little bit of adhesive left over that my wife and I tried to scrub off last night or this morning. It's all dirty this morning, but it didn't quite work. But God, when he looks at your face, he sees beyond the smudges and beyond the name-calling that people have stuck on you in the past. And he sees a miraculous masterpiece. So when you look in these mirrors, think of how God sees you. And remember that no matter what the world may tell you, and no matter what everybody who doesn't like you may tell you, God sees you as your parents see you, as a miracle, and as a masterpiece. That makes you a miraculous masterpiece, and God doesn't see all the little smudges around you. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for making us all your children and helping us grow and get beyond the smudges and the stickiness that other people put on us. But remember that you take away all that smudginess and all that stickiness, and you make us how you see us, a miraculous masterpiece. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks, Dave. Shabbat Shalom. The greeting on Friday nights for Sabbath. It's a wonderful, wonderful greeting. Many of our Jewish brothers and sisters, obviously, and many Christians observe Sabbath. You know, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Even my granddaughters are learning to say Shabbat Shalom. It's wonderful. But just a day of ceasing, you know, unplugging from everything. Just, it's so good to unplug from there's so much, you know, so much noise and so much things to look at, the phones and TV and internet, and just to shut it down and cease. And to delight in and honor the Lord for a day with family, with friends. And oftentimes, I understand that Friday afternoons would be a time of self-examination, like we just did a little bit earlier. Just a time to come before the Lord and to make our hearts ready for, you know, this meal and worship that they anticipate all week long, that they're preparing, you know, special foods and drinks, and they can't wait for that celebration. But they'll open themselves to the Lord. And then one of the traditions, some of our Jewish brothers and sisters and families, they read the Song of Songs. That's quite a love story in the Bible, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's something if you haven't read through that. But for them, they see the Sabbath as the bride, and they want to welcome the bride. It's such a delight that they have, and it's also God's invitation, as we know, you know, come away with me, my love. Come away with me, my love. That invitation from God to each and every one of us. There's such an intimacy and such a love and dedication that God has toward us. Come away. And we know that Shalom and Shabbat, it's peace, it's harmony, it's wholeness, it's completeness. Your words to the kids, Dave, you know, a marvelous work, you know, complete is what it means. Justice, not lacking anything. I mean, you can go on and on and on. The meaning, it's not just a casual social greeting. It's a word that's packed with the full blessing of God. Shalom. Shalom. And the fourth commandment in Exodus and in Deuteronomy 5 says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord God has commanded you. And then in Deuteronomy it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. And for us, you know, I don't know if everybody keeps some form of Sabbath, you know, even throughout our week. And you know, if we will do that and be intentional about it, you know, we will, you know, enter into more of that shalom and the deliverance, the ongoing deliverance that God wants for us in our lives, in our world. You know, if we are intentional, led by the Spirit, coming under God's mighty hand humbly, saying, you know what, I'm not that important. I don't need to be working 24/7, 7 days a week. Some of us try to do that. You know, are we that important? Is not God more important? We need to shut it down. And I didn't write that ahead of time, so God's speaking to a few of us here. But Jesus will show up, you know, the Lord. You know, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he will show up in our homes, in our hearts, in our lives, in our communities. And something powerful that happens as we observe some form of Sabbath, we are prepared for that next week. Yes, to prepare all week for the next Sabbath, but we are ready to minister. We are ready for God to use us to show up where he's working. God is working all around us. And he wants to show us where we can join him in his work. All right, all that being said, the setting in John 5 is obviously the Sabbath. So sometime on Saturday, Jesus makes his way to the pool of Bethsaida, right by the sheep gate in Jerusalem. And God's heart, as revealed through Jesus, is always compassion. It's always to the outcast. It's always to those who are forgotten and they're on the fringes. That is God's heart for the most vulnerable in society. The unclean, the tormented, all who are in agony, all who are suffering. Can you hear their cries? Do we hear their cries right now? So many suffering. And Jesus is on a rescue mission. He goes into the five portico area where it says in verse 3, where those who are sick and blind and lame and paralyzed, they've gathered there. Can we imagine their lot? What is that place that must have been like? Do they live there? Are they brought there? Is there anyone who really sees them? Anyone who hears them, who knows their story? Is anyone going out of their way to minister to them like Jesus is on this day? And we know the emphasis is on one man, a certain man, 38 years as a paraplegic. You know, no use of his legs, his feet. There's no strength. It says Jesus saw him laying there, and he knew he was there for a long time, so he knew everything about him even before he showed up. Jesus certainly was aware of his longings, the desperation, the man's debilitating circumstances, isolation, the prayers that he had prayed, the desires of his heart to be well, to be home, to not be isolated. So Jesus asks him in verse 6, do you wish to get well? Do you wish to get well? Yes, Jesus. Yes, but. The sick man answered, verse 7, sir, I have nobody to put me into the pool. And, you know, when the water is stirred up, and while I am trying to make my way, someone else steps down before me. Can you picture him trying to make his way, dragging his his limbs behind him. Whether a superstition or reality, it was believed that angels stirred the waters in the pool, and the first one in would be healed. And this would happen occasionally at time, over time. But Jesus does not address the man's complaint or the superstition or the reality. He knows that God is working in this man's life, and that's why he's there. He is joined with the Father, where the Father is working. He has come to rescue him. So Jesus speaks a word. Get yourself up and start walking. Arise, take up your mat, and walk. Immediately the man obeys. He has his miracle. He gets up, takes his mat, he walks. He receives a miracle. Can you imagine the rejoicing? He must have been overwhelmed, tears of joy, laughter coming out. The other crippled comrades and disabled people there, they must have been like, wow, just amazement, just a roar going up through the crowd there, all marveling over this miracle. In the passage, there's an abrupt, unsettling turn right at this moment. Verse 9, with the words, now it was the Sabbath. So verse 10 and on, everything shifts away from this miracle, from the new life and the shalom that he has received. It shifts away from new legs and ankles, new feet, muscle tone, strength, a man delivered by Almighty God. And a stop sign has been raised by some Jewish citizens condemning the man for carrying his mat on the Sabbath, for being obedient to what he was told to do by the man who healed him. Verse 11. They lectured him for breaking Sabbath law. They inquire, who said this to you to do this? Who? I don't know the man, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. But the opponents do find out later it's Jesus. And for this reason, verse 16 says they were persecuting Jesus for breaking the law, doing these things on the Sabbath. And that root word of the Greek word for persecution, dioko, is the same as legal prosecution. He was coming under the gun. Jesus is on trial here, which is true throughout the Gospels. Especially in John, though, it's just ongoing. A man is healed, then he's interrogated, then Jesus, the criminal, is identified. And we know that story continues. Well, Sabbath law was the law of the land. We know that. And Jesus was often called out for breaking the law. But his defense, stated in verse 17, says, my Father is working, and I'm still working. You know, there are those who are born, those who die, even on a Sabbath, right? He said, the Son only does what he sees the Father doing. So, verse 18, they were seeking all the more to kill Jesus, not only for breaking the law, but for claiming equality with God, blasphemy. Jesus was claiming authority over the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath, and he was claiming equality with God. Not replacing or displacing God. He's truly, fully man and fully God, but he's on a mission. He's on a mission from heaven. So was a crime committed? Or more rightly, should not the focus be on the miracle, the incredible thing that happened to a man? The shalom he was given, a mighty deliverance, bringing hope to even more people all around, the oppressed, those on the fringes of society, outsiders, outcasts, captives, and prisoners. We know that God has hardened the hearts of Israel for a time. You know, Messiah will come again one day, even though many, many are coming to faith. But in John, Jesus, you know, it's shown that he's replacing all these religious institutions, the temple, the purification rites. And on this day, taking his rightful place as the Lord of the Sabbath, restoring one, a man, to his rightful position, relationship with God. To his family, you know, you can imagine a family in the community being welcomed home for Sabbath. What must that night have been like for him? Coming home to table fellowship and worship. God was so good on this day. His mercy, his many kindnesses extended to him, even though not everyone could see it. The Old Testament lesson, 2 Samuel 9, King David displaying the kindnesses of God and God's mercy to Saul's family. King Saul, we know, had pursued and persecuted David for years, over 15 years. David would not attack back. He could have overthrown him. He could have taken him out. He would not do that. He would not touch God's anointed. He feared God more than he feared man or someone like Saul. But we do know that David continually cried out to God for his deliverance. I'm stuck in the muck and the mire. You know, help me. Help me. These enemies are coming after me. Stretch out your hand, O God. Deliver me. You know, even to the very end, and his rescue came. King Saul and his sons died on the battlefield, and David was enthroned as king. And then to honor God and do what was right, he asked, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? You know, Jonathan, the crippled son of Mephibosheth. Try saying that fast three times, right? And he was brought to eat at the king's table. We talk about shalom. The Lord wants to bring us fully to his table. Can you feel that? And even restored Saul's land to its rightful owner, to the heir, the grandson. And if you will, Jesus, in so many ways, and certainly to this man, and you know, somewhat the Old Testament with Mephibosheth, he's brought so many to eat at the king's table. And he wants to bring so many to his table to celebrate. He delivered them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, displaying God's miraculous power. Their prayers were heard and answered. And given this passage, you know, we need to keep a laser-like focus, you know, uninterrupted on who out there. You know, we may not hear their cries, but in the spirit there is wailing going on, the suffering that's all around. We may not hear that, but all those in need of God's healing out there, in their body, their relationships, their families, their soul, all who are weary and worn out, all who know what it feels like to be drowning, to be stuck in the muck and the mire with only a hand reaching out, hoping someone's going to grab it. All who are fearful, all the innocent ones in need of rescue. We know that God is still working. Jesus is still working. Holy Spirit is still working. The Heaven's army of angels are working like never before. There is a battle in the heavenlies, folks. And there will be a victory. But God is still working. It's time to join him where he's working. If we ask, he will show us. Those of you doing experiencing God, that's what it's all about. God is working all around us, and he will direct us, and we can join it. It might be an uncomfortable thing, or you know, we just got to go. Every day, wherever we are, we got to join God where he's working. And many are doing that out there. The Lord be with us all. because there's a rescue mission, a restoration, a return to the King of Kings and his table. You know, God's work is a powerful display of the kingdom. The realities of heaven released on earth. The glory of God coming into churches, into this place. Worshippers coming boldly to the throne of grace, on our knees, on our faces, to receive from the Lord. And God raising up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And as we stand in the authority God has given to us to decree and declare the word of the Lord. The world will come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, as Lord and Savior in the days ahead. More and more will come to know him because the kingdom of God is at hand. God's rescue mission is at hand. Nothing can stop it. Who of us here today wish to be delivered, to be rescued in our own way, whatever our situation is? God is able. God is here. Be ready. You will be touched by the hand of the Lord. God's rescue mission, it always begins where we are at worship, where we are sent from, out from this place to do the mission and ministry of God. But it begins here. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to the healing waters, all who are thirsty, all who are weak. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. Bring your past, the sufferings, the sin, failures, under the powerful blood of the Lamb. We will respond first with our tithes and our offerings, with prayers spoken and sung. And then we will come to the Lord's table for mercy, for grace, for healing. Lord, reveal your glory. Come, Spirit, come. Now receive this blessing of shalom. May you be whole in body, soul, and spirit as a result of being in harmony with God's will and purpose for your life. May his peace be your covering, your heart know his fullness, and by his mighty power may you know a victory over every enemy. May he bring to pass the deepest desires of your heart. May you know the healing power of his presence and the restoration of every broken relationship. His sufficiency, may every need that you face be met by his limitless resources. May his covenant promises be fulfilled in your life and in your family. May he bring you the greatest measure of contentment and the deepest satisfaction that your heart can possibly ever know. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come joyfully before you, Lord. We worship and praise you, and we thank you so much for all that you have blessed our hands with. For nothing that we have is of our own, but because of your goodness, because of your love. So we come now and we offer just even a little piece of all that you've given us. We offer it as our worship to you, acknowledging that you are the God of our provision, that you walk with us wherever we walk, that you provide whatever we need, but you are the God who is there. So, Father, take our tithes and our offerings and use them for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for blessing us that we have to give back to you. And amazingly, you bless us even more abundantly than what we can offer to you. And Father, we lift up all of these bags for Carolyn's Place. It's amazing, Lord, how much came into your house to go out and to bless others. So Father, I ask that you would turn these bags just like the loaves and the fishes, that you would stretch them, that you would supernaturally stretch everything in those bags to last way longer than they should, Lord, so that they can be a continual blessing for those women who will receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you give us, for who you are, and how much you love us, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're able, please join us in standing in our doxology.
Thank you.
It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors, intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, all are invited to draw near with faith to receive this holy sacrament.
Friends, this is a joyful feast of the people of God. Many will come from east and west and north and south and sit at the table of the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him and share the feast that he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with the disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Please now stand for our affirmation of faith. Found on page 878. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, as they're delivered by the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, taking the cup, saying, "This cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns.
Would you bow in prayer with me, please? O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread or this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ. Blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered in glory everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
You're invited to come forward and receive. Again, the gluten-free is on the outside, and the regular's in the middle. And it's a chalice that has the bread on one side. We'll do that first, and then the cup on the other. So it's very convenient. So come, for all is prepared.
do this in two stages. Let us open up our bread. The body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat.
The new covenant in the blood of Christ. Drink of it, all of you.
Let us now join together in the responsive reading column on page on number 900 in our hymnal. God of all goodness, we give you praise and thanks for all the blessings of this life. We are grateful for the gift of food and the opportunity we have to feed others in your name. The blessing and shelter
and challenge.
You have given us much, Holy Lord, and you expect much from us.
Help us to accept your blessings and your challenges with gratitude, and may find that through your grace, blessings become challenges, and challenges become blessings. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. Loving God, you do graciously feed us, who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life, the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Before we
sing, there's been a request. Jonathan Badowski is graduating from law school next Saturday, and then he's on to his the big exam. So, yeah, come on, right up.
You have a card yet?
No.
Said you weren't going to do that.
I know.
Good morning, Father. Just how good it is to be here this morning, just worshiping you, talking about you, listening to your word. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to just say thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us in this church. And one of them stands right here, Lord. I thank you for this man. I thank you for this. Known him for a long time, but you've known him forever. And just dedication and the way this young man goes about his business has just been an inspiration to me for the longest time, and I don't think we say thank you enough. So I'm going to say thank you this morning for this young man. As he travels into this world, and stands the bar, and he enters into a profession where a lot of people say, you don't exist, Lord, I want you to show him on a daily basis that not only do you exist in every profession, but you rule supreme in every profession. And that in all the voices and the clamoring that's going to come his way, that may yours be the loudest. And continue to be a guide and a compass and a source of strength for him, as you have been all along. So, Lord, I thank you for Jonathan. I thank you for his parents. I thank you for this church. And I look forward with just a sense of anticipation to see what the next step of this journey is going to be. So thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for Jonathan and the whole Podolsky family. And, Lord, it's a wonderful success to be graduating and to be heading toward this next chapter. I pray, Lord, that Jonathan would just be that, give you that full commitment, renewed, and he's open to you and your leading and your guiding and how you'll utilize him and whatever the next chapter is, wherever he will go, that you have him in the palm of your hand, protecting, surrounding. Holy Spirit, fill him. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Jonathan indeed. Expand his influence for you, your hand to be with him. And keep all evil away, Lord. And we pray your blessing upon him now. We're so thankful this time of worship to take this time. Pour out your Spirit on each and every one in this place, Lord. And now we know that Jonathan has this and you have him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace and love and joy and his Spirit. Go in joy and serve the Lord. Amen.